Hey, this is Ryan Tucker, and we want to thank you for listening to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. In this podcast, we get to dive into Pastor Stephen's weekly sermons right here at Highland Park Baptist Church. We would ask you to rate, like, subscribe, and comment. And again, we are honored and thankful that you have chosen to listen to the Unchangeable Truth. Welcome to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. This is Ryan Tucker, and this is Pastor Stephen. And if you are a new person to the podcast, we just want to welcome you and thank you for listening and watching. And as a reminder, man, we're just talking about God's Word, talking about the sermon, and just kind of recapping that, just talking about life and how Scripture applies. So, man, welcome.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
And, how you doing, man?
And kind of to build off of what you're saying. If I think on podcasts, when you're listening, you can go to the episode right before this and you'll get the whole sermon that we're talking about. And then if you're watching this at 11 o'clock on the on ABC, if you'll
go to bed,
I believe at 9 a.m. that morning is when the sermon runs, the service. And so if you want to DVR that or whatever, because if you're up at 11 watching it, you probably weren't up at 9 a.m. So, but that we do it that way because our plan is, hey, we're gonna talk about the sermon and the way this whole thing started. You know, just two guys sitting around.
I knew it. I wasn't gonna say
two guys sitting around.
I knew it was coming.
Having a conversation, talking a little bit about the sermon, and there are some folks that'll comment and say, you know, man, you guys, y'all need to quit. Y'all need to quit with the funnies, man. Quit. That's kind of who we are, a little lighthearted. Sometimes life's too serious, man.
Yeah.
You need to have a laugh every now and then, right? So, but it's good. I was flipping through the other night. Sitting there, I'm watching it, and I'm like, my goodness.
That's a good-looking dude over there.
Yeah. Well, I know you can't tell this if you're watching my video, but I do have a little bit of hair.
Yeah.
A little bit of hair. Boy, it looks like no hair. Now, you're completely...
Slick.
You're slick, and I would do it, too. I don't know why my wife... I mean, because, you know, you're like, there's... You know, we're not going to recapture that ground. It is already done. The flag... The flag has been flown.
Recapture that ground.
So it's to the point now where because it still grows thick on the sides, and so about every 2 weeks I have to go get it cut, or it'll really start.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh man, look at that dude. He's trying to grow out around the sides, to the point where I'm just sitting there and because the woman who does everybody in my family's hair, I just years ago started going with Jennifer, and it wouldn't take her long to cut mine. And so I've always still gone to her, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, hey, Cassie, I'm going to get somebody from my family to come here because I think they could probably cut my hair. And that way I'm not coming here spending this money every 2 weeks. And she's like, sure. Yeah. So we talked about it as a family. And the only one that was really even willing to do it is my youngest daughter, Emma.
Okay.
So Emma goes and she's there. She videos everything. And so we're talking about the clippers and, you know, the woman's like, look, you got a beard. If you got clippers for your beard, that'll work. Same thing. Okay. Awesome. And so Saturday night, Emma's at my house. She goes, you ready for me to cut your hair? I'm like, well, no, I just saw Cassie a few days ago. So, I mean, I'm good. She goes, thought you were going to quit seeing Cassie. I'm ready to start cutting. And see, I got a plan here because since Emma is not a professional, if she goes too short and messes it up, I'm there, buddy.
There you go.
I'm there.
There you go.
And so, you know, my generation, she can't be that mad because Emma's not a professional. So who knows? Who knows what's going to happen, man?
It's not that hard.
Well, I was going to say, could you mess this up? I don't think you could.
I mean,
but clearly, I mean, it's a process.
Yeah.
It's a process. Like she fades it and you got to go short and then a little bit long, short. And
just,
I know. I hear you. I hear you.
No you guard. Asked me to cut it one time.
You want to cut it? We have to do
you
that.
Remember that?
You want to do, I don't remember that, but I don't doubt it. You cut your own hair, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
Cut your own hair?
I do.
How do you do the back?
I just take a guess at it and then ask my wife.
Well, that explains a lot.
Like with scissors or just razor?
No.
The trimmer thing.
He's got, you remember those, the old DIY commercials, like where it has a vacuum cleaner hooked up?
He just
does it through and it sucks it up.
Yeah.
That's what he does. And he saves the hair to put in his rose garden. There's a lot of guys I know that cut their own hair. That's what we ought to do. One of our podcasts ought to be Journey Given. But of course, we'd have to blur out his face because of his anonymity.
I'm pretty sure most people know who he is.
I'll cut Ryan's, but I ain't touching yours.
Cut Ryan's.
I just put shaving cream all over and just go for it.
Do you use like a razor?
Yeah, just like the same one you'd use for your face.
Oh, man, you got some bumps on your head, man. There's a big vein right there.
That's usually a headache.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, I've
what do you do with those red bumps, those red moles?
What are you talking about red moles,
like,
man?
What do you call those? Hematopin or something. Angionomas. That's what they're called, angionomas.
Oh, my goodness. We are wading off into
anyway,
weirdness.
See, this is the part that people really appreciate.
I think they do.
Probably not. But
I completely disagree.
Yeah, see, there you go. There you go. And it's about time we get some other special words that are on there. But maybe we should go ahead and start dealing with some unchangeable truth. I pulled out a picture yesterday. I was sent. It wasn't yesterday. It was Sunday. I'm still part of a text group with a bunch of guys that were in my youth group when I was in Blytheville, Arkansas, many moons ago.
Many years.
30 years ago. And so,
yeah, because it was 15 years before I got there, and then I've been here 13. Yeah.
So time. So they send one out, and it's me and the music guy, Cool Dave, back in the – it would have been like 95, something like that. And I had so much hair. It's unbelievable the amount of hair I had. Leaned over, and we were eating lunch, and I showed it to my wife, and she said – false advertisement.
Is the mother-in-law still in town?
No, she left. She left last week. So they stayed one extra day.
Was it a good visit?
I mean, they kind of do their own thing.
There you go.
So it was fine. Yeah, it was good.
All right, Revelation chapter 2. You were getting into where the scripture starts talking about the churches. And
remember what I said. Whenever you do a series on Revelation, everybody's gung-ho, so excited until you come to the churches.
Yeah.
And then they're like, quit preaching to me.
Yeah.
I don't like this. Tell me what the fourth toe on the sixth beast means.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I thought, we were talking earlier, I thought you did a good job, setting this up and kind of preaching through it the way that you did. So I want to be able to kind of point out, because we're not going to have time to get through all of it. I have 4 pages of notes just on this one sermon, but I kind of want to get to some pretty important things I think are pretty relevant in today's culture, as we look at this church. But you reminded us to always, that Jesus is right in the middle of the church, right? Right in the middle of the things that we're doing.
Well, I think there's a reason why he's there.
Yeah.
I mean, that it says, hey, I saw him, and he's right there in the middle of 7 golden lampstands.
Yeah.
A lampstand represents the one of these churches. And, of course, we talk about the number 7. I can't remember if I even brought that up in the message. The number 7, he didn't just randomly pick 7 churches. If you study Jewish gematria, the number 7 is completion.
Yeah.
And so he's talking about the completed church, right? He's talking about churches of all times. And we said, anybody who is a follower of Christ, and he's right there in the middle, though, of these churches, because I'll have folks that'll say today, well, I love God and, I love Jesus and I know my relationship's right with them. I'm not going to be a part of organized religion. And I sit there and say, okay, I agree. Don't be a part of religion. But now we're talking about the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
We're talking about the church.
Yeah.
For somebody to make the statement, I love Jesus and I'm devoted to following him, but I just don't have time for the church. Whoa. No, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
I would say one of the birthrights of a believer, one of the evidences of a believer, is you love the church because Christ loves the church.
Yeah.
We're not talking about the buildings. We're talking about the body. And man, if you're like, I can't stand the church, I don't want to be around the people that proclaim they know God. I have no desire for worship. I don't want to read his word, but boy, I love Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm calling foul.
Yeah.
I don't know that that really works that way. So, I say all the time, I've had folks that say, well, I had a bad experience at church. And I mean, absolutely, because the church is not filled with perfect people. If it were filled with perfect people, then why would we need Christ to sacrifice his life for us? Yeah. It's imperfect people that serve a perfect God. And you hang around church long enough, you will be disappointed, and you will disappoint someone.
Yeah,
you'll have a bad experience. So, boy, if we started making decisions of what we're going to be a part of in life based on bad experiences, we wouldn't be a part of anything. And so I would just say, anybody that's listening, you're like, boy, I had a legitimate bad experience. Man, I'm sorry.
Me too.
That's terrible. don't give up on the church. Don't give up on the church. And so Jesus is right in the middle. He's still working through the church. He's still choosing to get his gospel out through the church. He's still, the church is, that's his hands, that's his feet. I mean, he tells us that. And so he's right there in the midst of that. And I want to be a part of that too.
Yeah.
Because that's where he is. So, just a little point that you easily can miss.
Yeah, and then, one of the things that I like about your teaching and kind of admire the way that you do it, like, you always bring it to the practical, as far as, like, hey, what is this saying to me? Not just, somebody else. It's not just talking to the church building, but, like, what is it saying to me? And then, as we look at, verses 1-7, just briefly, one of the things that you talk about is this church was so active. They were doing good things. They were busy. They were serving. But there was a point where they lost their first love. They were so busy doing stuff. We used to have a guy on staff that would say the machine of ministry, and then, so busy doing stuff, but they lost their love. And I think that's probably pretty relevant today.
Sure. He recognizes in activity, well, he says, I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience. Activity for the Lord, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
He's actually commending them. Hey, you guys are doing something.
Yeah.
Let me commend you for those things. And kind of back to the point that you made earlier, you look at the very last verse in this section here that talks to the church at Ephesus. He says, he who has ears, let him hear.
Yeah.
And the statement that I made is, hey, churches don't have ears as far as the institution or the building. It's individuals that have ears. Yeah. So let's understand that he is talking to those of us that are Christians. And so, he does. He commends them for their activity. He says, man, you guys, when it comes to doctrine, you're not just letting anybody come in there and teach whatever they want to. You're really testing that with the help of the Holy Spirit of God. And we talked about how difficult that was back in that time, because here we are. We have the fully canonized scripture. Yeah. And so we can open it up and say, whoa, what they're saying doesn't really match this. In which, if you go to a church and they never say open the Bible, if they never throw scripture up on a screen, if they're always pulling, kind of cherry picking bits and pieces to try to formulate it to make it say something, I just say be cautious there.
Yeah.
We are to test those spirits. And so he commends them. Hey, you're doing things like that, but I got this against you.
Yeah.
You've left your first love. You don't love me as much as you used to.
Yeah.
You're substituting good things for the best thing, which is, man, I want to fall more in love with Jesus every single day. Now, it doesn't mean it's either or.
Right.
So I'm not going to say he was necessarily scolding them because they were doing these good things. He's just saying, you've got the order messed up.
Yeah.
These ought to flow out
of
the love that you have for Jesus. And you know, the way we would say it is, man, if I'm doing it and I'm not really plugged into Christ and I'm not spending time with Him and I'm not drawing my my strength from Him, I'm doing this in my own strength, then oh golly, number one, it's not going to accomplish anything. Number two, you're going to be frustrated. And number three, everybody around you is going to be frustrated.
Right.
And we see this happen in the church. And when I say the church, I'm not just talking about the church that I pastor. I'm just church in general all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
Folks, you know, we'll have folks on two fronts. We'll have folks that'll sit there, Ryan, and they'll say, I can never be a part of worship because I'm working. Serving, man. Can't be a part of worship. I'm serving. Okay, well, you understand. I mean, worship is key to the heart and the life of a believer. And worship and studying the word, all those things together, that's what fuels. But on the other front, you have folks, man, I can't serve. I love worship. I got to be a part of service, man. If I don't go into service, you know, and they're hand in hand. They are dependent upon each other. And so I would say anybody who would, oh no, you know, I'm not going to do one at the expense of the other, check your heart. I mean, something's not right there. But yeah, he tells them, here's the problem. You're doing all this stuff and it's some good stuff. Let me give you a rebuke.
Yeah.
You've forgotten me through it all. You're not as on fire for me as you once were.
Yeah. And then this is one of those, you know, sermons that, you know, now, of course I listen because I'm trying to intently take notes so we sound halfway intelligent up here. But, you know, you asked the question in this, you know, talking about the rebuke and how they lost their first love, but yet Jesus knows them. He really knows them. You asked the question, like, you know, has there ever been a time in your life where you loved Jesus more than you do now? And you know, I kind of stopped writing for a second because that kind of struck me in a way to where I'm like, man, I really, let me think about that. And like, let me examine my life, my thought life. Let me take notice of how I plan my day out and the task that I have to do compared to other things. And so I don't know. I thought that was really, really in-depth question. If people really heard that and reflected on that, there could be some really conviction and change there.
Well, what true follower of Christ, if they're being honest,
yeah,
would not say, I know exactly what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Or I mean, most would probably say, yeah, that's me right now.
Yeah.
That's me right now. Well, you know, one thing that I pray every day when I pray and whenever people ask me, hey, how can we pray for you? I always say, pray that I'll love Jesus more.
Yeah.
In my prayer, Lord, today, you know, help me love you more.
Yeah.
Help me love you more. Because that puts everything in the right perspective. You know, you do life. I was going to say you do life long enough or you do life deep enough. No, you just do life.
Yeah.
Man, it's easy to elevate things that really don't matter. And to draw that attention away from Christ in that pursuit of, man, I want to go deeper and I want to go deeper. And usually when people talk about deeper, they're talking about intellectual. Yeah. They're talking about theologically.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I would say, no, deeper with my love.
Yeah.
Deeper with my love. Jesus, I want to be, hey, here you go. Whatever you want. That's me. I just want to know you more. Reveal more of yourself to me.
Well, and you kind of, I think if I remember correctly, like you use the word compete, like you said, there's so many things that are trying to compete for our love. And, you know, we gotta make sure that nothing is competing for the love that we have for Jesus. You know, maybe the phrase you used was like, we gotta love him the best. And
yeah,
I don't know, man. Like even though it could be seen as a very, for me, like, yeah, these are things that we've heard all our life. And if you've grown up in church, these aren't uncommon words or phrases. But man, like the depth of how far this could go as you study and talking to the Lord about how we can continue to follow more. I don't know, man. It was a pretty deep message for me. So
the statement was, the only way to love Jesus right is to love Jesus best.
There we go.
To love him best. What does that mean? Here he is. He's first. He's number one. He has prominence. He's preeminent. He's there. That's it. He is number one right there. So when I was doing this, I was sitting there and I was thinking, okay, what is it that people usually will look at and say, oh man, you can tell how much they love Jesus. Giving. You can tell how much they love Jesus by how much they give. And so I've even thought this before, and I've had people that have told me this. Well, I just can't give like so and so can give because they just got so much money they can just give. And that's the reason why I started making the statement of, hey, listen, I don't care where you are. There'll always be somebody who can outgive you, who can give more than you can. It's kind of like that whole thing of, hey, you think you can whip everybody. There's always somebody bigger and badder, right? Yeah. There's always somebody.
Well, they say everything changes when you get punched in the nose or something like that.
I don't know. But what I was trying to make is, yeah, you may not sit there and say, oh, I can outgive them, but you can say, there's nobody in here that'll outlove me.
Yeah.
When it comes to the love I have for Jesus, I don't care how old you are.
Yeah.
I've determined, I don't care. I don't care what you have. You know, we talked about not only giving, but serving and teaching the Bible and all those kinds of things. Oh, boy, I just couldn't teach like them. Man, they're so intellectual. They study so much and all. Yeah, but you can determine. You're not going to outlove me.
Yeah.
I tell you right now, that'll not be the case.
Yeah.
And when we look at that, you know, the kind of the greatest commandment, what does he say? Love.
With all
your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. I'm going to love. All those things are going to fall into place when the love is right.
Yeah.
You know, and Paul even goes on in Corinthians, right? And Paul says, I know you're sitting here, you're like, man, we got to get all this
done. No, you're good. You're good.
But Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians, man, we can do all these things. Speaking unknown languages, we can heal, we can do all these things. But no matter what I do, if I don't have love,
yeah,
I'm like a clanging cymbal.
Yeah. 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 And that, and again, like if we take the time just to really hear what the scripture's saying and how we can apply it to our life, man, it absolutely changes the outlook on a lot of things. And I don't know, man, like I said, this is a pretty powerful message for me.
Well, if I really love Christ, I'm growing in my love for Christ. Yeah. That is my pursuit daily. I just want to fall more in love with him today. Then really nobody should have to come along and beg me.
Yeah. Yeah.
To do things that are an outflow of the love that I have for him. I had to get back on this church attendance thing, but I'm blown away by these folks that, you know, I love Jesus, man. You know, he's in the middle of the church. I love my church. I'll be at church. Yes, sir. Unless something better comes along.
Yeah.
Or unless I have another pursuit. Or, man, y'all don't have to be begged to do those things. That ought to be a result of, man, Jesus, I'm loving you.
Well, and you talk about, you've mentioned it before, or you mentioned it several times, like never forget what it was like to be lost. Like never forget. Are you talking about how people get over it, right? You know, salvation, the moment of salvation, the moment of, you know, sometimes for people in baptism, it's just this beautiful moment where there's excitement and they want to. I've even had people say, yeah, I'm going to go tell everybody I know about Jesus. And then you, 2 months later.
Sure.
Because they got over it.
Well, so 25 years ago, man, I am preaching. It was a evangelism conference at this. I mean, it was rural Northwest Tennessee, like an association of a bunch of country churches. There's a farmer there in overalls and no shirt, right? So, I mean, I could see it. I mean, most, that's how they were. That's just,
I'm wearing that tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, they're just farmers. That's just what they, I mean, they came in from the fields, yeah. Man. They're there at the, and the pastor of this church called him this farmer in his overalls to pray. And I heard him that night, you know, Lord, help us, forgive us. We've forgotten what it's like to be lost. Mm. And I'm like, boy, that's strong right there, son.
Yeah.
And that is so true. That is so true. What happens is, what do they say? You get saved and the condemnation, like a weight, has been lifted off of your soul. You now have peace. You now have purpose. You know, I've heard folks describe it. It feels as though now I'm finally connected with what I was created for.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be in right standing with God. And the evangelists say, man, you're so fired up, you'll charge hell with a water pistol, yeah. Right? I've heard that a million times. And then what we usually do is we plop them down in a church building filled with people that have gotten over it, and they say, whoa, you're too fanatical.
Yeah.
You're too on fire. You just calm down, man.
Yeah.
You know, you got your ticket punched to heaven. You ain't, just chill out. Yeah. And that whole thing of, well, okay, yeah, I'm over it now. Yeah. That feeling has subsided. And I've even prayed that. Hey, Lord, I don't ever want to get over it.
Yeah.
Don't let me get over it. Don't let me get complacent. I'd lie if I say I haven't.
Yeah.
That there have been seasons where, you know, you're just like, oh, man. And that's, it's just that daily thing. I mean, he's willing to give it. He's willing to stoke it.
Yeah.
And, you know, man, let us all be old men, the three of us, old men. Well, I mean, your journey's almost there, but, old men that are just as passionate. Yeah. Well, let me back up. Are more passionate about Jesus than we are as young men.
Well, and I like the way you closed it out, because you said, you know what, there can be this sense of revival going through this. And man, I just looking at culture, looking at current situations, man, we need revival.
Revival is something that it's the church. I know a lot of times we think revival evangelism. Now, that to me, that's going to be an outpouring of revival, because if you have true revival in the church, then, you know, it's going to be like a magnet and the world's going to be drawn to it, and you're going to see folks that are saved. But he tells them there, hey, here's the way for you to, here's your medicine to take, right? Yeah. First of all, remember.
Yeah.
Remember what I've done for you.
Yeah.
Remember who you used to be, right? I mean, if you got nothing to be thankful for today, you didn't get the promotion, you didn't make the team, your girlfriend broke up with you, your dog ran away, right? You got nothing to be thankful
for. That's a country song, right?
It just sounds like it. You can, you play it backwards, though, they all come home.
That's right.
You can at least say, thank you, Jesus, I'm still not bound in my sin.
Yeah.
Glory be unto God, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to repent. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. I've not been loving you with all my heart, with all my soul, my mind. And then I'm going to go back to those things that I did to begin with.
You got to throw the R word in there, return.
Return,
there
right?
You go.
There you go. Return. So it's good. I'm thankful.
Yeah.
We got six more churches to go. And this is, when we get the lukewarm one.
Yeah. Whew, yeah.
Everybody's going to be mad. Choir's going to be mad. I'm going to be mad. Everybody, I mean, boy, that's going to be like looking in a mirror. Oh, my goodness.
Well.
Oh, my. It's going to be something.
Well, as always, man, thank you for pointing us to Jesus and pointing us to the truth of Scripture. We'll see you next time right here on the Unchangeable Truth Podcast.
This is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Unchangeable Truth. We would always love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, so feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@highlandpark.org. That's HILANDPARK.org. The purpose of this broadcast is to help you fall more in love with Jesus Christ and your faith to grow as you consistently find yourself in the Word of God. If you ever find yourself in Panama City, please feel free to stop by and worship with us in person at 2611 Highway 231 North. May God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again.